Music from D.C. and Baltimore, you'll find it all here on Corridor. Waltzes or cut time or straight 4/4, you'll find it all here on Corridor.
Welcome to QuarterCast. This is Kelsey. The current status here in Ellicott City is freezing, but I'm getting ready to go get some chicharron and yuca for lunch later, so that will brighten my day. But anyhow, this week's guest is Andy Livingston from Mold Omen. They're a noisy, sometimes ambient band. It's pretty wild. They only use real instruments and pedals, no computers, but they get some insane sounds. I'm going to play you a song, so if you haven't seen them or heard of them yet, you'll get an idea of what I mean. On November 18th, they'll be playing MT6 Fest at the Wind Up Space. Now, I also want to mention that there will be a future friend of the show, Hometown Girl, also playing that event. The Hometown Girl episode won't be up before November 18th, so I just wanted to let you know that now. You can catch at least two of our guests there. So Andy told me about taking October off to record 5 to 6 things a day, which is a pretty insane schedule. You'll hear how he managed that. He's putting out 2 solo albums, as well as having a new Mold Omen out on Bandcamp, Some Like It Fraught, which is a great name. We talk about making weird music for people that like weird stuff. Talk about the importance of trust in a band. Lots of fun stuff like that. There's a couple things I want to let you know about before we get to the conversation. The first is that Santa Labrada got some mixes back from Frank, and they sound so good. It's crazy how different it sounds from our live set, because it's very well produced. He put the time in to make it sound like a polished record. So this coming Tuesday, I'm going to get together with the ladies and we're going to listen to it all together and send back notes and all that good stuff. Things are chugging along and I'm very happy with their progress, and I hope you all will be too. So the Baltimore Sun has a contest going on for basically the best Baltimore internet stuff. They call it the Crabbies. And if you wanted to vote for QuarterCast as one of the best Baltimore podcasts, I would super appreciate it. You can vote multiple times, it says, so vote early and vote often. I think the best way to find that would be just to Google Baltimore Sun and Crabbies or Crabbies voting, something like that. And just another quick reminder, if you know of a band that might want to be on the show, the only requirement is that they be from Baltimore and D.C. and have something out that we all can listen to. It's corridorcast@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter and Facebook, CorridorCast. And if you like what you hear from Mold Omen, you can buy their album through Bandcamp. Just type in Bandcamp, Mold Omen, 2 words. They also have a Facebook and a Twitter, so you can get in touch. Let's head into the talk with Andy, and let's give a listen to Classical Gasp. This is Classical Gasp off of Mold Omen's Some Like It Fraught.
Thank you.
How you doing, Andy?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad you could make it. Talk to me about what you're doing now. What are some of the projects you're involved with at the moment?
So I've had a very ambitious and busy October. I took the entire month of September off from recording and then proceeded to record probably 5 to 6 things a day
for
the entire month of October.
It's kind of like the novel NaNoWriMo thing, but you're doing
yeah,
it.
You know, it is. It's just one of those things where it's like I kind of tend to do it in September. I'm just like, I'm going to take a month off and I'm going to like recycle all of these ideas. And then like by the time I'm ready to like get back into it, it's just like explodes. So I just put out 2 solo albums.
At the same time?
At the same time.
Wow.
One of them is called The Switched On Proletariat, and it's like it's kind of like a Bruce Hack, Mort Garson, like weird 60s library music synthesizer album. And the other is just kind of like a regular weird noisy thing.
Mm.
But I have another one that's supposed to come out on Moon Mist Music Records, something like that, probably next month. I'm working. And then there's like another one that I'm working on that I'm not entirely finished with yet. I finished like all the backing tracks. It's going to be like ridiculously indulgent.
Like how so?
It's 3 tapes.
Oh, wow.
It's 3 tapes worth of music. And I'm going to make like 1 physical copy.
Wait, so who gets the physical copy?
Well, that's just whoever decides to pay me $20. which is the same thing with the Switched On Proletariat. There's one 2 cassette physical edition, and the rest is just on Bandcamp.
Was that inspired by the Wu-Tang Clan?
No, when I do the solo stuff, I really go like headlong into like indulgent 80s art rock. So I was like, of course I need to put out like this ridiculous triple cassette album. And I had like the material, so I was just like, I just need to like just take it to full fruition and probably be deeply embarrassed by it when it comes out because it's a little and it's just too much.
How so? What do you mean?
I think it's just a lot of music to put out at one time.
Oh, that's true.
And it probably asks a lot of a listener to listen to that much. I mean, it's not all 60-minute albums. So I think that's where I'm cheating a little bit. It's probably like 20 to 30 minutes each side. So it won't like take over your entire life.
Yeah. You could theoretically get through it in one sitting, I suppose.
For sure. Yeah. It would, you know, it will probably still require a lot. Mold Omen is recording this weekend for a couple of things, including a split tape with a band called Geraniums.
Oh, I don't know them. Are they local as well?
No, they're from Detroit. It's the same guy that's putting out the solo album that I'm doing for on Moon Mist. It's a band that he has with his wife, and I believe they have a third member now. It's this really like noisy, spaced out jazz stuff.
So how'd you get hooked up with Geraniums?
So probably a year ago, maybe it was longer. I'm really bad with like how things are in time.
Sure.
Like I have no idea how long my band has been together. I can't I kind of know when we started, but I also have no idea. Probably let's say it's closer to 2 years ago. We were played on the Tabs Out podcast, which is like this all cassette weirdo experimental thing. Another group that was played on there was done by this guy Dan, who does Moon Mist music, and he just reached out to me and he was like, hey, I really like it. If you guys ever want to do something on the label, just, you know, let me know. So we did. We released an album on that label last year, called Cosmonaut in a Foxhole.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. But I've been like a fan of his stuff for probably since I got into like weird music. It's really out there and really weird.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about that because I'm going to be honest with you. I was listening to the stuff and it's so interesting, but it's very much out of my wheelhouse.
Right.
Like I like songs, you know, usually what I listen to is no more than 3 minutes,
right.
You know. So how did you go down this path of noise? And I guess some of it is probably better called ambient. Like how did you find this?
Yeah, you know, I think there was just one time, like probably about 10 years ago, I just like hit a wall. And I'd also grew up, I listened to a lot of indie rock. I listened to a lot of very conventional stuff and I just kind of hit a wall. And I was like, I never want to listen to a guy play guitar and sing about a girl ever again. I just like had it. And I was always really into jazz since like I was in college. So it was just sort of a natural thing, but it's a difficult thing in the way that you kind of have to retrain your brain to like hear it, because you do sort of expect that kind of thing, like, oh, these things are going to be short, this is going to have like a progression, and then you put on something that like doesn't go anywhere for 20 minutes and you're like, does it suck? Like, I don't know. Like you sort of have, and still to this day there's lots of times where I'm just like, I don't know. And the fun way of like figuring that stuff out was like, I was getting really into that and I had started reading, a couple of blogs here and there. And there was this one called Foxy Digitalis, which is not been around for a long time.
Yeah. I haven't heard of that.
But they were looking for writers and they were, you know, they were like, well, we can't pay you, but you'll get a stack of music every month. And I was like, awesome. Like, that's great. This is going to save me a fortune. So I did that for like 2 years. And that really helped me train to like, because then it was like apparent what was good and what was bad. And what was like, I like this stuff and I don't like this stuff. And I can sort of follow. And also like, because it was basically this entire new genre, you sort of get exposed to like, what are the trends going? What are people really into? Like, cause I've heard this 50th Drone album this month that sounds the same way. So
the stuff they had you listening to, was it kind of like avant-garde? Or?
Yeah, okay. It was a little bit of everything, but that was sort of their specialty.
Gotcha.
So we really focused on that. And then it was like, I did that for a long time and really just sort of like figured out where my head was at when it came to that kind of stuff.
Well, talk to me a little more about that. Like, what did you learn? What did you learn that you liked? What did you learn that you didn't like?
You know, so I learned that there was a level of aggression that I was okay with. And then if it exceeded that level of aggression, I kind of had no interest in it. So there's like some really like heavy, like subgenres of noise called like power electronics, which is just like dudes.
I don't even know what that is.
It's just dudes screaming over like the most dissonant, like clattering sound you can imagine. And usually saying something that like is offensive to try to like rile people up.
Yeah, gotcha.
And it was like, yeah, no, I'm not into this. Like, this is not what this doesn't feed me anything. I did sort of come back around where I do kind of like things that are in more song form. at least like smaller bites. I can still, you know, trip out to some 20-minute thing, but a lot of times it's like, well, that's asking a lot from me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know if I have that, you know, you just have to prepare yourself to sort of like get into it mentally, or to have it as background music or some, you know. But sometimes if you want to like listen to like a thing, it's like, it's hard to get revved up for like, here's this weird spaced out dissonant thing that lasts a half an hour.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, in a lot of ways I refine what I think, what I listen to and found enjoyable, but like, it also seems one of those things that's like changing all the time. Like I can't pin down. I never like turn around and say like, oh, I'm done listening to X.
Right.
But I'm like going through like huge phases of some things, and then you come back around and I literally forget about bands. Like once a month, I'm just like, oh no, yeah, that's a band. And I really, really like them. And I forgot about them for like 6 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, because there's stuff that you like and you can always go back to it. That's the beauty of it, you know?
That's true. And there's stuff that I like that I don't necessarily want to emulate in my stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's like a lot of stuff where I'm just like, yeah, I'm super, super into this. And I'm like, but I would never try it. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to be a jazz musician.
Sure.
Like I love jazz, but like I have zero interest in it. Yeah. And there's a lot I learn from it, but I have I just don't care. I just don't want to go there for me.
Yeah. For me, I find I try to listen to a lot of different genres. As I told you, noise has not really been one of them, but so for me, I find that like, you know, I had like a reggae phase, and sometimes I still find myself strumming in that like staccato way.
So you take
bits and pieces of
for
things.
Sure.
Do you do that too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of times where I'm like, especially with like reggae or dub, like if I decide like I'm going to really bust out my drum machine and really program some beats, like that's like the first thing I will go to is to try to find like, especially like, the sounds of that, like the sounds of like the reggae stuff and the dub stuff are so rich, mm-hmm. and they're so like they fill up the room in this way that I'm like, I always would like to figure out a way to emulate, and I'm really never there, partially because I'm not recording on like crazy analog equipment.
Right.
But yeah, there's definitely stuff where I find, that I'm really going to like all the time. Like anytime there's like a really like gothy flourish to something, like I'm on top of it. Like that is apparently like my go-to, is to just give some like artsy Bauhaus like ripoff thingy going on. That's like, it's probably my worst crutch, but
well, you know, again, it's something that you like, you come back to, you know. So you mentioned recording. Talk to me about your recording process. Do you do it at home? Do you go to the studio?
So I do everything at home. Everything goes directly. Well, okay. So things have been, I've like worked on a new, this is like so nerdy.
No,
this
go is ahead, like nerd a, it out.
This
nerd
is my out. New recording technique is because I don't, so I'll live in an apartment with my fiance, and it's a very big apartment, but I don't have like a dedicated music space. So I kind of had to like break everything down or like find a way to do it. When I'm recording stuff, like if I decide I want to record like drums, that will go like a direct line in to my computer. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do it that way. What I've been doing lately is I've constructed like this live setup. And I record it in like the back room of our apartment. And I now have it in stereo because I have like these very like 10 watt amps. And lately what I've been doing is sort of just for ease sake, I've been recording directly into like the voice memos thing on my phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I've been doing that. And that way it's just like, it's basically just out of convenience. So I don't have another thing to set up. It's like, I always have my phone with me anyways. I just like plop it down, hit record, do whatever. then when I'm done, I will like take all the files, import them into like Audacity. This is like the dirtiest thing. So then because the way they export as a mono file.
Right.
So then I keep the original mono file, copy that mono file into stereo tracks, compress the stereo tracks, but leave the mono track alone, export it that way. And it comes out like a jet engine. Like it's so loud, not like loud, but like it's full.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like, once I kind of figured that out, I was like, oh, this is it, man. Like, this is what I'm doing for the rest of the time. Cause it's also super easy. It's not a, you know, there's no extra mic to set up. There's not like a whole thing.
Yeah.
But that's been pretty recent. And like everything else, recording wise, kind of like just adapts on its own. Like when we started Mold Omen, I lived in this really gigantic house in Woodbury, and we had like a huge basement and just like no microphones. We just had our amps and played directly into like the microphone on my laptop. But it was so, the reverb in that basement was so intense that it just like, it sounded amazing. Hmm. It, you know, by the time it bounced off the wall and came back, it was like, holy cow, this thing sounds so huge. So we were okay with that for a long time. I mean, that's probably how we recorded everything for the first like 5 years. And then I had to move out of that house, and we sort of like floated around to a lot of different ideas, and a lot of them didn't work. A lot of them did. But we sort of, I think we're right now at like an okay place with figuring that out. But it, you know, it's a ton of trial and error.
Yeah. Well, so you recorded directly into a computer mic. Did you expect that would sound good? I mean, like, were you just experimenting?
I think it was just like, let's see what this sounds like. And it sounded okay, so we just wrote it.
Okay.
There were other times when we did get different microphones, or we mic'd up amps and stuff. But I think we came down to like, well, that's kind of like what we like the most. So we just kept with that for a long time.
And so are you just writing things on the computer? I know there's guitar on some of the songs, but how do you make the sounds? Do you have synths or?
We don't really have synths now. I did for a while, but I didn't really like it. And so I sold it. You know, right now we're kind of going through this thing where we're both playing guitar, which is like a very new thing. I did not play guitar at all until like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just had no interest. Okay. So this is like, I had like a traumatic experience trying to play guitar.
How so?
So I was a freshman in high school. And like everyone was like, well, you had to take guitar class because you're like, you want to be a guy that plays guitar. And it was in this like the band room, which was like separated from the rest of my high school in some weird way. And the guy who was the director like had his own office in there and everything. It was like a whole thing. So we had to go around and play the song that we were getting graded on.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 14. And I was playing whatever the song, I think it was literally like Sloop John B or something ridiculous. And in the middle of me playing, he gets up, walks into his office, closes the door, and does not get out for the rest of the class.
What was going on with him? That's so weird. Oh,
he was a lunatic. He was one of those guys that had been teaching for like a million years and really probably just should have retired.
So, did he talk to
Didn't
you,
say anything. That's Came so in the weird. Next day and nothing was said. And everyone's like staring at me and I'm just like mortified. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not. I'm just not going to play guitar.
That's so bizarre. So did you take it as like, oh, I played so bad, I made him.
Yeah, absolutely. That I had like, that he was so distraught with my guitar playing, he had to leave and lock himself in his office.
No, there has to, that's on him.
I think there was something else going on with him. He was a really weird guy.
Maybe he had a traumatic experience when Sloop John B came on. Yeah, who knows?
So I didn't. I really didn't play. I had like no interest. I was just like, I'm not going to do it. And then like a couple of years ago, I was just like, I have like a friend's guitar from when he moved across the country, and I've kept it for years and never did anything with it. And then I was just like, no, I'm gonna like play guitar. And then it was like a lot of like, oh my God, I hate playing. Like I had to like reconceptualize like how I wanted to do it.
Well, what made you want to start again or try again?
You know, I think it was like a couple of things. One was like I had, in this time before, we had sort of, I don't want to say like we had like stopped being like doing music, but Mold Omen had slowed down considerably. Mike had a child with his wife. I like moved into an apartment where like we couldn't play music at all. It was very, we were both sort of pursuing other things. And then I like had come back from that and moved into a place where I could play music. And I was like, you know, like I've been really bummed for like the last like 2 years that I haven't really like played music much, and I'd really like to get back into it. And I don't know like what that means, because I never had done anything like solo. And so I think in my head, I was like, well, if you play guitar, like that's a way to like separate yourself from the band, because that's something very different than what you're usually doing. And then at the same time, I sort of discovered this guitar player named Mike Cooper, who does this really out there, like tropical loops and ambient sounds. And then he like plays slide guitar over it, and it mm-hmm. sounds beautiful and like out there and super weird. So I've like discovered Mike Cooper, and I was like, well, I can like play slide guitar. Because the other thing I discovered was that I actually have like small hands. So playing regular guitar beat was like actually kind of difficult, because my fingers are pretty stubby. So it was hard to like,
I'm like looking at your fingers. Yeah, no,
I didn't know that was like a thing. Like I thought you were just, I thought like, no, I'm just bad at like playing guitar because my fingers like can't do all the things.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, like I had just like stubby fingers. So then I was like, well, you don't need stubby fingers. You can play slide guitar with stubby fingers. So I was sure. Like, oh, cool. So I'll play slide guitar. And so then I was doing that for, you know, a lot of it. And then I just sort of, now I kind of pick up a regular guitar, which is a smaller scale, so my stubby fingers can work. And that's, you know, it'd be sort of like going back and forth. I still don't view it as like as my primary instrument.
Guitar. Yeah.
Yeah. I still just, you know, it's like, 'cause I still don't know how to play. Mm-hmm. So it's just like this, you know, this thing that that can make this really weird, like percussive, like sound, but it's like in my head, like that's not a guitar.
What is your primary instrument then?
So I don't really have one.
Okay.
When we did Mold Omen, it was like Mike was, the guitar player, because that's his primary instrument, and he's sort of backed away from that recently. But so I was like, well, you be in charge of guitar, and I will like just figure out what else is going on. So a lot of times that was just like doing a pedal chain that like oscillated into itself. Sometimes it would be like a violin. Sometimes it would be a weird cheap keyboard that I found. Drums a little bit, but hardly at all. But a lot of the times what I would do is like I would get cassette tapes, and that I think that was actually my primary instrument for most of the time. It was like it would be like weird cassettes I would make on my own, cassettes of our albums. I still use one of our albums when we do live shows all the time. And I'll just manipulate that as we like play.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So honestly, like most of our live most of the stuff, if there's a cassette playing, it's almost always like one of our first albums that's the cassette, and I can just play it through. If you play a cassette through with where it's recorded on both sides in like an old Tascam Porta studio, you can have track three and I think it's track three and four will play the tape backwards. So it sounds super weird.
Yeah. And there's satanic messages, obviously. Obviously.
I mean, come on.
So to me, that's wild, you know, because I came up as a guitar player. So when did you realize that... So when did you like look at a tape and was like, I'm going to make this tape an instrument? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I think I'm not sure. I think when I was younger, I always young, like 8, 9, 10 years old. Like I always loved that there was like a possibility with tapes that you could like pretty much do anything with them. You could record a conversation happening in front of your house and then have it instantly followed with some song you recorded off the radio. Mm-hmm. And I think that, and then later figuring out like, oh, you can really like manipulate this stuff and you can make tape loops and do all this kind of stuff. It was like, oh, that like, so I don't have like an instrument skill, but I know that like having this access to like an unlimited possibility of like whatever this wants to sound like is probably my strongest suit. Cause that way I can make it work as much or as little as it needs to with whoever else I'm playing with. And with the other thing with cassettes, when you were younger and still like now, if you can find them, is that, they're replaceable. Mm-hmm. If you don't like what's on it, you can just erase it and put something new on it. And it has that, and it still maintains some of that, like, maybe not the sound, but like, you know, the more you record over it, it gets like degenerated and like just gets weirder and hissy and all these like amazing sounds that like, it just, it sound like you couldn't replicate it.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like, do you feel like you don't want to focus on a specific instrument? Do you want to keep your... Are you always looking for new sounds out of
different things? I think so. I think there's definitely times where I'm like focusing... Like lately I've been focusing a lot on guitar. Focusing a lot less on tapes. But that's also sort of coming back around. I think there was sort of a while where I was like getting so... I mean, this is the other thing when you're like become like this obsessive person with music. It's like... I had like a humongous box of cassette tapes. Mm-hmm. And sort of was just like, okay, I need to put these, like they're taking over my brain as far as like what I want to do. And I was recording this stuff that was just like super, it was way too detailed and way too thought out and not like loose. And I was like, I need to like, my relationship to these tapes is like getting really intense. Mm-hmm. So I need to step away. And so I like put them away for a couple months and just did like guitar. And now the tapes are kind of coming back around. But, you know, I think I get bored. Mm. And I think it's like, it's fun to, and it's also fun to build the relationship between like whatever you have else going on. If you have like, a new backing tape that I've come up with. Well, like how is the guitar going to fit in with this? Or is it good? Do I have to use like some Casio I got at the thrift store? Do I have to use some other kind of thing to go with it? There's no like catch all. There's never one solution that is out there. I think I just sort of like, if it sounds okay, then like, well, that's good. Like I don't need it to be like amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely lo-fi is a part of the vibe, at least from
what I've seen. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And what is the songwriting process like? Because again, that's out of my, you know, it's very different than what I'm used to.
Yeah, so we really don't have one. Everything, so there's kind of like two schools of thought that we have like worked out. If we're recording for an album, like anything goes. Mm-hmm. We improvise everything. What that generally means is we will work out in the same room, we'll work out like a sound that we enjoy, that we're like happy with, and then we'll just sort of go. and then we'll just improvise for however long. And usually it's not like more than like 5 minutes, 6 minutes. We usually keep it pretty key. And then we just sort of like go through and like figure out, well, what works and what doesn't. Does this work with you? You know, and sort of just like edit. If we play a show, we tend to be a little bit more methodical. Mm-hmm. Mike has really taken the reins of like sort of coming up with his portions of what a set should be. So he'll be like, I have this part. This goes into this. It'll be 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And then we'll get together and like hash it out. But there's times when haven't been able to do that. There's shows where we're like, we don't have time to rehearse. What are you going to bring? I'm going to bring this. Let's just go bang it out. But the live shows are generally like we put a little bit more planning and thought into them. Mm-hmm. Mostly because I think it eases the anxiety of like, it's easier for me to know what he's bringing so I have an idea of like where my head is at. But other than that, they're really like, if it's on an album, we like just improvise everything.
So how does a live show work? Is someone bringing a guitar and then do you play off like a computer or?
No, we don't play. We don't use any computers for the music.
Okay.
Yeah. Mostly because like I sit in front of a computer all day.
Yeah, you don't need
I can't. Like I just, it's just, I'm sure my life would be a lot easier if I learned how to program stuff into a computer. But I just don't want to. It's too much work. So we don't, yeah, it's just instruments. It's like random stuff. We always like to have this element where there's like a guitar and me doing a thing. And then like both of those are like getting amplified. But we also like to have a thing where at least one or preferably both of us plays another element in the room that's not being amplified.
Like what do you mean?
So that can be like a percussion thing. That could be like a horn thing. So we always like to have like this, like a third element that happens that is not being processed or treated through like pedals or amplification or anything. But can really like also be a part of everything. And I don't think there was like a huge goal towards that. I think it just sort of happened naturally.
Mold Omen, is that you and Mike or are there others?
No, that's just Mike and I.
Okay. So how did you guys get together? How did Mold Omen start?
So we met when I talked about writing for that website. Mike also wrote for them.
Gotcha.
And so we had like sort of ready. We had seen each other. We'd seen each other, air quotes, on the website, and like knew each other. And then I realized like he lived in Baltimore, and so I was like, oh, like why don't we go get a beer or something? And then we were like, you know, why don't we just like play music instead of like going to get a beer? And so we did. And then I was trying to start a band with like this other guy, and it was like going horribly. It was like just so, it was like I did not, but I was like, well, I want to play music, so this is what I gotta do. Like, this is what you gotta do. And then I meet Mike and I'm like, oh no, like I'm not playing with this other dude ever again. And then I didn't, and then we've been playing since I want to say late 2008.
Oh, so that's a little while now. Yeah. It's almost 10 years.
Yeah. It could be 2009. Like I said, I literally cannot. I have no conceptual years, time, huh? of when things like start or end. But yeah, it's been a really long time.
And how did you know that was working out with them? Like, did
I think it's just off the bat. I think it was just like, oh no, this is cool. And like I think we both had pretty similar backgrounds that we didn't necessarily know like were right when we first started playing, but it was just like, oh yeah, no, we both had like weird hippie parents. We both grew up in Maryland, which for some reason like made a difference for, you know? And it just like, and I remember like we had been playing for a long time. We like every, it was either like every Wednesday or every Thursday, we like got together and recorded music for, I mean, well, probably for like the first like 4 years. Wow. But when we started, we were like, we couldn't like get a show. We couldn't, like, nobody knew who we were. Like, we weren't like, we would like go out to shows, but we weren't like making friends. You know, we were just like two quiet guys.
Yeah.
So we couldn't really like make any headway. So we're like, well, let's just keep recording. Like, something's got to come up. And so we got this offer that some label in like the Netherlands wanted to put out a CD. We were like super excited. We're like, yeah, let's go. Like, so we like got together and we're going to like edit the tracks and go over stuff. And we're sitting there in my old bedroom and we're just like, oh, well, this sounds like Nico and this sounds like Miles and this sounds. And we were just like, oh, no, this is perfect. Like this is, and it was, we'd never talked about those people. We'd never said, I want this to sound like, you know, like some soft jazz thing. Like it was, we like instantly like, I think that was a moment for me where I was like, no, we're good. Like this is, I'm going to ride this out for as long as I can. That's pretty much been the case.
So what happened with that label? Did they end up putting
it? They put out that CD. It was our first CD. I think that came out in like, I think it came out in like 2009.
Which one was that? What was it called?
I think it was just self-titled.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did they find you? What's the backstory there?
I think part of what happened when we wrote for that website is we were able to find out who all these labels, because we were getting, I mean literally like a stack of stuff, mm-hmm. like probably like 30 tapes, 10 LPs a month. So you sort of like get to, you know, you start to see the same labels over and over again. And you're like, well, they're functional and they're like, they would probably be into this.
Sure.
And so that was a really easy way to like access a bunch of different resources at one time.
What are you guys working on now?
Right now, we're recording for a couple of compilations. And then I think we're recording for the split tape. And then I think that's pretty much all we have planned. We don't have a ton on our plate at the moment.
Well, I'll give you a little time to do the solo stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and the solo stuff is like that. I mean, that's a pretty easy way to take up most of my time. Mm-hmm. It's not, I've never had like a conflict between that, the two of them bumping into each other. But yeah, we're still chugging along. We're less busy than we were years before. But, you know, some of us had a baby, so it's like,
yeah, that's the priority.
They tend to take over that kind of stuff.
Do you notice differences when you're doing your own stuff versus the Moldom and stuff?
You know, sometimes I do. It depends on, I do try to be conscientious that I'm not just like bleeding entirely over. 'Cause playing with Mike, I'll get like really, you know, it'll be like a really fruitful environment. I'll get all these really good ideas. But then, you know, I don't want to like, well, I'm going to steal this for my thing. It's never mm-hmm. been like that. But I think I tend to focus a lot of the solo stuff in a different direction that is probably stuff that Mike is less interested in exploring. Like 80s art rock. Like, I don't think Mike cares about 80s art rock. Mm. I think Mold Omen doesn't have super defined, like there's no like, oh, we're going for this sound, but they're definitely sort of like tentpole bands that like we are very conscientious of when we're like recording or like trying to do stuff. And when I do the solo stuff, it's not really those bands. Mm-hmm. So
what are some of the bands that are temple bands, as you say, for you?
For Mold Omen, it's probably like Sun City Girls. Throbbing Gristle is probably a big one. There is this Scottish experimental musician named Richard Youngs that we both are completely in love with. He's like this incredible guy. But then I kind of think that's it. Like, we like a lot of the same stuff, but I know like we also don't like a lot of the same stuff. So it's sort of just like, you know, if it can be like Sun City Girls guitars with like weird electronic flourishes, like that's fine. And then whatever else is going on in our head, we'll just, you know, we'll just bring that to it also. There's never been like a thing where someone said like, I don't like how that sounds. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's ever been a time where someone's like, no, like that just doesn't happen. I think we're really good at trusting each other, which is like a very important, I mean, you play in a band, so it's like, it's a very important thing that, you know, like you can trust the other people.
Oh, absolutely.
That they're not going to like, you know, throw you in some weird direction. Mm. So I think that's the biggest ones with them, with Mold Omen.
And in terms of playing live shows, do you feel like there's, is there a community around the type of experimental music you do? Or is it something that could be improved, I guess?
Yeah, it's complicated because I know that there is, and I feel an access to it to a degree, but I also feel completely alienated from it a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of like times where we like, I'll see like a show and I'm like, wow, that's weird. Why aren't you asked to do that? And I have a call, you know, I know some other bands that I'm like, I am friends with and stuff. And, but there's also like, I'll see some weird show that sounds awesome. I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are. Like, and I'm like, I feel like I go out to shows like on a, like I'm going a couple times a month. I'm not you know, it's like, but I'm also not going to the warehouse show that doesn't start until 11 o'clock at night.
Sure.
Cause I'm almost 40 and I just can't deal. So I think there's like that kind of stuff where it's like, I feel connected like to a point. But then it was just sort of like, it also feels that like the noise shows have really dried up. Mm. I don't know how much that coincides with sort of what's happening in Baltimore City and them cracking down on sort of like more DIY venues.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's sort of, you know, it's causation, you know, correlation isn't causation kind of thing. But it's like, well, there used to be a lot more bands coming through and now there aren't. And they're going straight to DC. It seems like it's really like mellowed out. And then I think that was sort of the concept when we decided like, oh, we're both going to play guitars, is like, let's try to get on some rock shows. Like, let's go to try to play with like, you know, a little bit, you know, not like your most conventional, not like your Ramones kind of band, but like bands that are doing some weirder stuff. And then like, we'll get on those rock shows. And like, we've done that a few times. Mm-hmm. And that's been pretty successful. I think people have been pretty receptive to it, but it's also like, we're also asking a lot. Yeah. We're asking a lot of people to be like, hey, you came to see like a band that plays guitars and we're going to like, just be weird like on you.
Pedals.
Yeah. We're just like, we're going to get really out there for like 20 minutes. Yeah.
One thing I've noticed though, and I don't know if this is the case in other cities, but, Baltimore seems to be pretty open to some genre meshing at shows.
You know, like, honestly, I think I completely agree. I think that there is like, and I think this in general about most like music fans is that I think they're open. Mm-hmm. I think if you go to a show and see something like wild as hell and really weird and you're not expecting it, like I feel like people are pretty receptive to that. Yeah. I've never had an experience where we like shocked someone. Mm-hmm. I've only seen something like that once, and it was a really weird, and I think it was because like the promotion of the show led people to believe it was something very different. But that wasn't my band playing. So it's funny that like, I think music fans are really open. It's unfortunate that like music fans don't book shows.
Right.
So it's like, then you have to sort of like pitch yourself to this, usually a promoter, who is just like, no, I don't know what you guys are doing. Like, this is, I just want another rock band to play. And we're like, no, but like, but really it's okay. And they're like,
yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah. And they're like, no, man, like this is too out there. And so it's like, to an extent, it feels like we're back to square one, where we're sort of like having to pitch ourselves to this city that we live in and say like, hey, we're like a real band and we want to play shows. And people are like, no. And we're like, okay.
All right, then.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite places to play?
I always like the Wind Up Space. Yeah. We've played there a bunch of times. We've never played the Crown, which is...
Oh, see, I'm surprised because I understand that there have been noise shows there.
Yeah. I'm playing a solo show there the end of December. But we've never played there. I don't know why. The favorite place we used to play, which isn't a venue anymore, was... Have you ever been to Club K?
Yes. Yes.
We played Club K like... I don't even know. We were playing there like once a week.
Yeah.
And it was like it was like super laid back. It was really good. And I mean, it was, you know, you sort of show up and like with your two friends and mm-hmm. you're like, you've taken over the place for the night. But yeah, that was
kind of a special spot. It was so weird.
Man. It was, you know, and like there before them was a place that we only played once and had a really bad experience playing there, but was the Hexagon.
That I don't know.
The Hexagon was down on Charles. I don't know. I don't think it's anything now. It was kind of near where like Zodiac and Charles Theater were.
Okay.
But Hexagon was also, it was like anything when it was like a very, you know, everything went well there. And that's, we played Club K like all the time. It was great. We just played a show at the Bun Shop downtown.
Oh, I didn't know they had a...
I think they just started doing it. And we had a really good experience there. The guy that ran it, I think his name is Jason. He was like really pumped to like have bands play. And so we like played a show there. We opened for like a rock band.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And visually, it's a gorgeous place. Like it's so weird looking. Yeah.
I've never actually been in there, so I don't know how it looks, but is it a good, is there like, there's not a stage or anything, is
there's
there?
Not a stage, no, it's just on the ground. But it's, yeah, it's really nice. I'm trying to think, oh, we played the Depot. I always love the Depot.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
Yeah. It's like the 90s never died.
Yeah.
Which is always really nice.
That's the perfect way to describe it.
Yeah. It's like anytime you go in there, it's like there's someone's playing. Like I think when we played before, our set ended, the sound man turned on like 311.
Nice.
It was like this is exactly the Depot moment that you want.
Yeah. Oh man, 311. I think they're coming to town soon, I think.
Oh, I think they, yeah. that does look familiar. Yeah.
Do you remember when your December show is? We can kind of plug that real quick.
I think it's December 27th.
December 27th?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, because I think it's like, it's 2 days after Christmas. So if anyone's actually going to be in town.
Hopefully we'll get some people out there and know about it. Do you have any sort of goals for things you'd like to try in the future? I know that you're playing guitar more.
Yeah.
Are there any other changes? Anything you're interested in pursuing?
You know, I'd probably like, I had my eye on this weird like bamboo travel saxophone thing. It's like a reed in like a saxophone, but it's probably like,
oh wow, that's 8 wild.
Inches long. And I've always really liked the sound of like reed instruments. I've just never, I don't know how to play them. I'm sure my neighbors will like absolutely hate when I decide to try to play a reed instrument. I don't think there's like, you know, I think the cool thing about playing music for me is that like it really drags me out of my head and puts me in like a present moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wake up thinking like I have a goal that I'm going to do this. It's sort of just like, oh, I've recorded all this stuff. This all goes together. Or I want to do... Or someone offered us a show or someone does this. So it's like, it's very short term things. You know, I can't wait for like the Moldoman 30th anniversary show. I have devised plans for Mike has like a, I think he's almost, he just turned three. He has a 3-year-old son and I've like devised plans where his son will just like take the band over at some point. So it can live forever. Tradition. Yeah. And he could just like drag some friend of his along and be like, we won't say anything. Like, he'll just be like, all of a sudden, like the members of Moldovan will be like 30 years younger.
I like that idea. Yeah, the carry on the dynasty.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the beginning. How did you get interested in music in the first place? When did you get that spark?
We always had music on when I was a kid. My dad was really into music. But he was really into like folky stuff. Mm-hmm. Like my dad went to Woodstock.
Oh, really?
He lived in upstate New York when it was going on. So he just like went to Woodstock. And I do remember when I was a kid, when I was like maybe 12 or 13. I'm not sure if I have this correct, but I feel like the Woodstock movie had like come out like recently at that time. And maybe I'm completely wrong. But I thought like they couldn't get the rights to all this stuff. So it took them like a really long time to like figure out all that stuff out about getting the rights to things. Or maybe that was the soundtrack. But my dad was like, you need to watch, like, we're going to watch like the Woodstock movie. And I was sort of like, okay, and was completely overwhelmed. I mean, I was just like, there's a lot of naked ladies on here. There's a lot of weird stuff going on that I don't have any concept of. And there's a lot of stuff where I'm just like, I'm super not into whatever this band is doing. Like, sure. This is just not my thing. But the one thing that really stuck with me was the Richie Havens performance. Mm. And he just like leaves stage. And he's just like playing guitar, like by himself, just like for himself. And he just does, he's like, he doesn't care that there are like thousands of people out there. And I was like, holy shit. Like, that is unreal. And so that was like really, really stuck with me. And then I had like little things where like I would get like weird toy keyboards and obsessively play them for like hours.
Nice. You ever thought about using that kind of? Or do you use that kind of keyboard on some of the songs?
Sometimes, yeah. Okay. I have some like super cheapo like old Casios. I don't have that one, unfortunately, anymore. I would like kill if I still had that. So I would always have these weird sort of things, but I was also very insecure. So when like I'm like a teenager and it's the grunge thing is taking off and all my friends are like playing guitar and like I want to, but I'm like crushingly insecure that I'm like, I can't do that. So sort of like put it away for a long time and just, you know, didn't do anything until I was like 15 or 16. And I got really, really, really into punk rock. And then got like super into like crust punk. And like,
so went all the way down the road.
Oh, for sure. I don't do anything lightly. It's sort of like, if I'm going to do it, like I'm going to go so deep into it. So I'm like, you know, wearing crass shirts in high school and like going to all these like weird peace punk shows, like in these like condemned warehouses in Baltimore. And I was just like, I was like, this is it. And so then I started to like pick it back up and I like had like this like drum and bass only punk band with me and my metalhead friend from down the street.
Wow. I'm trying to picture a drum and bass punk band. That must have been pretty wild.
No, it was terrible. He was a good drummer. He actually like went and like kind of like doing the metal drummer thing for a while. I was inept in every capacity of like trying to write a song. But it was very noisy and nobody, you know, none of our parents cared for it very much.
You wouldn't be doing your job if your parents liked your
Yeah, no, band. That's true. I do remember, you know, there was at one time where we had like, we've been doing it for so long and we'd sort of like had graduated to like getting a little bit better and a little bit better. And like finally, like I had like wrote this song that was like very unlike our stuff. And the guy who I played with, who was a drummer, this guy named Joe, and Joe's mom like comes upstairs into his room and she's like, that actually sounded like really good. And that was like the last song we ever played.
Oh no.
We were just like, we were like, that's it. Nope. We're like, we're done.
Oh God.
All right. Well, I should probably let you get on with your night. But as you know, I always ask the question, what advice would you have for musicians? What can you offer us? What parting words of wisdom do you have?
So I'm stealing someone else's answer, but I really like this answer, so it helps a lot. When Patti Smith first started, Bob Dylan came to one of her shows, and she goes to him and says, can I get some words of wisdom from you? Like, what do you think about it? And he's like, you're fine. Like, these guys, they're going to go there with you. Like, you don't have to worry about anything else. And I think for people that like want to be in a band, just find it doesn't, you know, you don't have to like find, oh, this doesn't sound exactly like this, or this tone is different, or this doesn't have the right thing. It's like, just find the people you can trust. And I think that makes it easier for everyone.
That's a good way to think about it. And, you know, trust is such an important part of making music. So
there's so much other stuff to worry about. I mean, like, you have to worry about your gear not working. Mm-hmm. You have to worry about, like, dealing with somebody's ego. You have to deal with all, you know, it's just like whether or not your practice space is going to have there's so much other stuff. To find people who can be like, no, this person, like, I trust this person that, like, we're not going to have a bad time, first of all. Because that, like, why even bother?
Yeah.
Like, all these people, like, have bands where they fight all the time. It's like, you're not married. Like, just walk away. Mm-hmm. You know, have
a... Especially a local band. Like, oh, for
what? Like, what is... Oh, my gosh. And I have some friends that play in, like, regular bands. And, that like, hearing that kind of stuff, I'm like, it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever it is, like... You dedicate so much of your free time and it costs a fortune. I mean, it's like relatively a large amount of your like expendable income goes towards this hobby where it's like, why would you have a bad time?
No, that makes no sense.
It makes no sense. I think that's why we don't like, why I don't get like the really aggressive noise stuff. I'm like, dude, why are you still angry? This is your free time. Like, you can't, like, if you're this angry at your free time, like, go run. Like, go get some of that energy out.
Yeah. All right. Well, go run.
Go run.
Have fun with
that's,
it.
That's my,
that's how, that's where we'll leave you. Thank you so much, Andy. This was a blast.
Thank you so much. Right. This was great.
Take care.
Bye.